This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's a brand new week, Monday, September 9th, 2019. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us in the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. We have 67 degrees in Chicago under cloudy skies, going up to 76. The Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Chicago is one of the cities in which Amazon will be conducting job fairs. We'll learn more about that in our next segment. Right now, the week ahead will include a key measure of inflation, the report on retail sales for August, and a reading from America's Small Businesses. We're joined now by Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But before we recap or look ahead to what's happening this week, let's recap one data point from last week, and that is the August jobs report. And what does that tell us, Gus, about the state of the economy?
It tells us that the U.S. economy is expanding at this point, but the growth is slowing. Job growth was a little slower in August. The economy added 130,000 jobs. The unemployment rates stayed steady at 3.7%. But wage growth was good and income growth was good. So consumers maybe not as good a job growth as what we've seen over the past couple of years, but paychecks are bigger, and that means consumers have the ability to buy more things.
And then keying off the jobs report from Friday, we do have the listing of job openings coming out tomorrow, along with small business sentiment. And what do you think America's small business owners are going to say about the state of things right now?
Well, surprisingly, small business sentiment is held up despite all the concerns about the trade war, at least through July. So it'll be interesting to see with the tariffs that President Trump announced in August, whether we saw small business sentiment decline last month. But I think conditions are generally pretty good for small businesses. They're seeing sales up. And so it's a question of whether concern about the trade war outweighs the good numbers that they've been seeing.
And then Thursday, the Consumer Price Index and the core CPI, and that's the key measure of inflation. Inflation has always seemed like the dog that never barked. And is that still the case?
That is the case. And in fact, I would expect to see no change in the consumer price index for the month. We had a big drop in gasoline prices in August, so that will keep inflation low. And then core inflation, which excludes food and energy and tends to be less volatile, that'll be up 0.2%. So inflation is below the Federal Reserve's 2% objective. They would like to see a bit stronger inflation. The Fed meets next week, and given that inflation is low and that we are seeing slower job growth and that there's a lot of uncertainty out there, I would expect that the Fed would cut interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point when they meet next week.
And what is the status of the trade war?
Well, there's talk that negotiations between the United States and China are back on. That's a hopeful sign. But certainly, I think China has an ability to hold out perhaps longer than the Trump administration was expecting. The government in China does not face elections, so there's less pressure on them in that perspective. So I think it's entirely plausible that we could see this drag on for another year or so.
All right. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services, based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Coming up, Amazon is hanging up the help wanted sign. They're going on a hiring binge.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Amazon will be holding job fairs in six cities, including Chicago, as it works to fill tens of thousands of jobs. We welcome in Rick Cobb, Executive Vice President, Challenger, Gray & Christmas, based in Chicago. Rick, what's Amazon looking for, and can they be expected to pay?
Well, the pay scale is going to have to be competitive with the going rate now, so I can't give you a specific number, but whatever minimum wage is, it's got to be higher than that. Certainly Amazon and the others that are participating in the seasonal hiring are also going to have to consider some sort of an enhanced benefit for a part-time basis in order to get people to consider that as opposed to something else. The real issue, though, is for those, the Amazon and the other e-tailers, is they really need to get the products to the market. It's not so much about customer-facing, so in the store, certainly you need some of that, but the real challenge, particularly for Amazon, is going to be, can we get people to come into the centers and make sure that the products get into the right locations and get in the boxes and get in the planes and get where they need to go? So a lot of it's going to be logistics. And then I think the other part of it's going to be, you're going to need some good verbal skills for this. It's going to be customer satisfaction. You know, it's not just about did it get there, but when it didn't get there, how are you going to solve the problem that keeps that customer coming back?
And this the 30,000 permanent jobs that Amazon is hanging up the help wanted sign for kind of runs the gamut of experience from six-figure software engineer jobs to fulfillment centers. And they are holding a job fair in Chicago a week from tomorrow. And generally, you know, in the Chicago area, is it going to be looking for white collar workers, or are they looking for people to work in those fulfillment centers in the suburbs?
Well, you need both. Obviously, you have a pyramid stack, so that the white collar roles, those roles are you're going to need fewer of those, but you still need them. The Amazon's model is to build fulfillment centers and large centers because logistics of getting products around the country and around the world. You operate in major metropolitan areas where you can get the workforce, and you're looking for permanent people because you want to hang on to that ability to deliver. But by volume, obviously the fulfillment side is going to be the largest population because that's where you need the most people doing the work.
And when you're talking about adding, you know, one single entity hiring 30,000 people, is that enough to move the unemployment rate when the jobs report comes out?
By itself, no. But when you're a market leader in an industry, I would certainly expect that this won't be the last company that does this. There will be other companies that are going to be hiring, perhaps seasonally, but with an eye on locking down and retaining talent. So, you know, the whole retail business is up for grabs. And so getting the products to the customer is one part of it. The other part of it is the customer experience, which is what happens to those people when they do go into the bricks and mortar side. So it's going to put a lot of pressure on the rest of the workforce because those jobs that Amazon fills means that there's going to be others that can't hire. You'll probably see an increase in the base rates for wages. You'll see a shortage of people in some of the hourly jobs around both, in, you know, whether it's the local coffee shop or the local retailer. So it's going to make a difference. Is 30,000 going to make a difference by itself? No. Is it going to change the dynamic in terms of what people think in the economy? Yes. So ultimately it will.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Rick Cobb, Executive Vice President, Challenger Gray and Christmas, based in Chicago. Amazon Career Day a week from tomorrow. The website amazon.jobs/careerday. Up next, Chicago contemplating a congestion tax to cut traffic and raise revenue.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
As Mayor Lightfoot looks to fill a more than $800 million budget shortfall, the idea of a congestion tax in Chicago being floated. Let's discuss the possibility with Bob Reed, business writer and contributor for Chicago Magazine. Bob, welcome back to the program. The idea of a commuter tax or some type of tax being levied on people who perhaps work in Chicago or drive through it but live in the suburbs is one that's been around for a long time. And in fact, if you look at our Twitter page at WBBM News Radio, you'll find a link to a TV news report from 1980 where then Mayor Byrne suggested a tax on commuters coming into Chicago. And now her successor, Lori Lightfoot, says if you want to drive through the interchange that bears her name, you may have to pay too. So, Bob, given that history, what are the odds of this succeeding?
Well, I think the odds of it succeeding are still up in the air, but the odds of them looking into it are probably pretty good. You know, the city has to ask itself, what does it want to do, reduce congestion or raise revenue? And the answer is it wants to do both. But you're absolutely right. This idea has been floating around for a long time and has run into all sorts of obstacles, not the least of which is that unlike other areas where a congestion tax is imposed, like London or in Stockholm, Chicago has multiple entry points into the downtown area, and even though technology has gotten better and you're able to trace drivers more than you could in those other days, it's still going to be very difficult to implement a plan like this.
Well, you also talk about London, which does have a congestion tax and has had one for quite some time. But the difference between a London or a New York versus a Chicago, and despite the fact that Chicago has an extensive heavy rail network, Metra and the L, it still pales in comparison to the New York or London subway systems.
That's right. And, you know, one of the criticisms of a congestion tax is that you end up taxing people who really don't have an alternative to get into the central city. Is public transportation going to be able to absorb all these extra riders if you start taxing people? Well, that's an open question. There is an argument that you could use the revenues from the tax and put that toward public transportation. That's probably true, but, you know, the city of Chicago has a shortfall in its operating budget, and I suspect that money would be earmarked for some of that.
Well, let's say this actually does come to fruition. It succeeds, and you live in Oak Park, and you are driving downtown for a concert at Millennium Park. What will your experience be like with that congestion tax in place?
Well, and that depends on how the thing is crafted, because a lot of them are just for peak hours, you know, during business hours and during the work week, not necessarily on the weekends. So a lot of this is going to depend on how you draw the boundaries, what areas are included in those boundaries, and in addition to that, how you go about taxing it. You know, there is an alternative to this, and that is that you start taxing the ride-sharing companies even more than you already have, because an argument is being made that they're adding to the congestion that we're seeing downtown. But, you know, Uber and Lyft aren't going to volunteer for that, and no matter what you try to do, you're going to have a fight from the various constituencies that are going to be against this kind of tax.
Well, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Bob Reed, business writer and contributor with Chicago Magazine. Still ahead, previewing Apple's fall product event. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Apple is set to present its annual fall product event tomorrow. We'll get a preview. It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a couple of suggestions from an investing pro. Members of the Will County Board considering an additional gasoline tax. Rescue crews say they found four missing crew members of a cargo ship. That capsized the coast of Georgia. WBBM Business, the markets are in negative territory now. The Dow is down 6 points. The NASDAQ is down 36. The S&P 500 is down 5. AccuWeather says mostly cloudy with a shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. Warmer than yesterday, a high of 76, but cooler along the lakefront. Right now we have 67 degrees in Chicago. WBBM News Time 12:31 in the noon business hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets are generally quiet now. We're joined by Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial, based in Chicago. Jeff, welcome back to the program. Kind of a tepid start to the trading week.
It is, Rob. You know, we are seeing a little bit of nervousness. This is a big month of September. Remember, this is the last month of the third quarter for 2019. So this week, we have a big central bank meeting over in Europe, the ECB. The European Central Bank will be announcing potentially more stimulus, and then the Federal Reserve is subsequent to that meeting next week. So there's a lot of central bankers potentially trying to reposition the market. But right now, there's a little bit of nervousness. But let's remember, we're only 2% away from all-time highs in the S&P 500. So there's a lot of optimism in the wake of the recent conversation about an optimistic trade tariff resolution between the U.S. and China.
And once again, it has been kind of an ongoing theme on this program as you try to kind of solve the mystery of are we headed for a recession or not? And based on you could build a convincing argument either way based on the wealth of data points that are generated on almost a daily basis.
Well, I think there's a lot of skepticism out in the marketplace. And when we talk here, I'm on the floor of the CME Group, and you can hear the Treasury pits behind me. Certainly, we've seen a grab for Treasuries. That 10-year note is down at 1.61%. But I think that has a lot to do with some of the Federal Reserve or the European central bankers manipulating the market and coming in and buying our bonds. So I am not in the camp of recession. I think the data still is strong domestically, and you see a lot of relative strength in our U.S. equity market. We talk about technology that's been a wonderful sector for the last 2 years, and we continue to see strength. I know we have the big Apple Day coming out tomorrow, but a lot of these names, they continue to attract assets. So I am not in the camp of a recession. I know a lot of people out there have been calling for a recession, but even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Well, let's talk about some of the big deals that are taking place. Hedge fund manager Elliott Management making a $3.2 billion investment in AT&T, and they're calling for all sorts of changes to the program. Basically, what kind of business is AT&T these days? Is it still phones, or is it the satellite TV and cable business?
Well, I think that's a great question, Robin. It's a combination. It certainly is a service. You know, I'm guilty. I'm a bundled person at AT&T, my DirecTV, I feel like it's an ecosystem you can't get out. Very similar to the way you feel like in the Apple ecosystem. But AT&T is having a great day, up 3%. This name spent some time above $40 a couple of years ago and has had a hard time reclaiming that $40 level. So maybe with some type of activism, someone coming in and mixing things up on the board, they can really streamline and create more efficiencies and move that stock price higher.
You do hear about activist investors getting involved in some very big companies, but how much influence does $3.2 billion buy you at AT&T?
Well, it definitely puts a little bit of spotlight. I agree with you. It's an insignificant amount, but that position will help illuminate and try and message to the board that they need to reconsider and reposition some of their future forecasts. So anytime you get an activist come in, even if it's small or a significant kind of purchase of $3.2 billion, that is going to get some attention. It's going to get people thinking. It's going to get media attention. And once it gets out in the media, that really provides an efficient platform for shareholders. At the end of the day, this is shareholder value. I think sometimes that has to be kind of reconvened in the media so the shareholders get a fair shake.
And one of the items on their wish list is selling DirecTV, which really is an indication of just how the content delivery platform business is changing at warp speed.
It is. It continues to evolve, and it's interesting. You know, they came up with this wild idea of cable television where they'd bundle all these different channels. Now we're just going to ESPN Plus. We're going to Hulu. We're kind of augmenting or a la carte putting together our own cable TV. So it is interesting how it is evolving. But I think if they do sell that, that'll create additional consolidation in the space. And maybe that drives a little bit of value to us as we seem beholden to some of these big providers like a DirecTV.
And then very quickly on the China trade war, it seems like they're making progress, but there's always a tweet lurking around the corner that could send us all a flutter.
No doubt about that, but let's understand where we're at, Rob. We are in the third quarter. We're ending the third quarter. We're about to go into 2020, which is an election year. This is all part of the process. I think President Trump has now really kind of calmed tensions, and we're seeing the market react to that. We're seeing markets nearly at all-time highs. So as we see some optimistic perspective going into the month of October for these scheduled meetings, I think that really presents an opportunity for markets to move higher into the end of the year, because President Trump wants to talk about where the Dow Jones is during this campaign in 2020, and I think the market will continue to move higher, but we need some type of trade tariff resolution. We can't have anything. We don't need something to really sink our teeth into, but we need something to really give companies the ability to provide certainty in that forward guidance that they talk about in every earnings report.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Jeff Kilberg, the CEO of KKM Financial, based in Chicago. Coming up, what you can expect at tomorrow's Apple product update.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Apple is set for its latest product reveal in California tomorrow. Let's take a look ahead with Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group, based in New York. Shelley, welcome back to the program. So someone
Thank
at
you.
Apple is going to have the honor of putting on the black turtleneck, putting on the headset microphone, and walking around in front of a giant screen touting the benefits of the latest Apple iPhone products. It is an Apple, a new iPhone, right?
Well, they're definitely going to be a new iPhone. Probably three of them. They'll have better cameras, faster chips, the next version of the operating system, probably some new colors. And, of course, 100% of what I'm going to tell you right now is complete rumor and conjecture, because Apple notoriously confirms nothing until tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific, when in the Steve Jobs Theater, someone will, in fact, put on a black turtleneck and talk about iPhones.
And what is the latest and greatest, at least according to the people who claim to be in the know, what is the latest and greatest in iPhone technology? I mean, is it really just perfecting the camera?
Well, we're going to see three models, we think. Now, this is all rumor. We think we're going to see what they're calling the 11 Pro, which would be basically the XS Max in the next version, an 11 R, and an 11 Max that's not the XS size. So there'll be a giant phone, a medium-sized phone, and a small one, kind of Goldilocks phones. The three cameras are supposed to be better for all of the kind of things that you like to shoot with an iPhone. They'll also help you with your augmented reality and, of course, your deep fakes as the software becomes available. We're expecting bilateral charging in the phones. That means you can charge someone else's phone by having them put their phone on top of yours. There's a very, very, very serious chance this phone will not be 5G, because that's just probably what it's going to be. People say it'll have the faster processor, the A13 processor. I don't think that's a big rumor. We expect that. One of the things that might happen for those who like 3D touch, which is where you hold something on a iPhone screen and press hard and new options come up, they're thinking about discontinuing that. Maybe we'll learn about that tomorrow. And, of course, it's going to stay expensive. These are going to be $1,000-plus phones, and, again, no headphone jacks. So that's sort of the late Logan news about iPhones, maybe a different one for China than America. But, again, all rumor mill, and no one really knows if the USB-C plug is replacing Lightning plugs or not yet. At least no one's talking about it.
Is this going to be considered the an iPhone 10, or is this the iPhone 11?
No, this is really the 11. They've had the S models of the 10. So those were out last year. We're time and ready for an upgrade. The way that we know anything about any of this is through the supply chains, right? Because the people who are making cases and the people that make accessories have to have some information so you can kind of see and monitor what's being made, what's being ordered. And this is truly an upgraded phone. Are you going to run out to buy it? Is it going to be so much better? The answer is no. We already know what the phone's going to do because we've had iOS 13, the current operating system, in beta for quite a while now. Everybody who develops for iPhone, everybody who develops apps has had the operating system, and the hardware can't do anything that the software won't let it do. So we kind of know the capabilities. Will they have some magic? I think Apple's going to announce a lot of services. You know, the TV product, the streaming product is going to be on display, as well as their new Apple payment services. They have a new credit card, credit/instrument out there, way to pay. So I think you're going to see a lot from their services group. And I'm expecting this to be an iterative iPhone, not an innovative iPhone in the classic sense of the word innovation. But, you know, little incremental steps get you somewhere at a certain point. And Apple's magical at that. So let us wait to see what the dark turtleneck group brings us tomorrow.
All will be revealed tomorrow morning. Thank you very much. Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group based in New York. Of course, you follow him on Twitter at Shelley Palmer and at ShelleyPalmer.com.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday, and helping us out today is a familiar voice on the Noon Business Hour, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter based in Hammond, Indiana. Chuck, welcome back to the program, and it seems that both of your stocks this week are companies that are based around suburban Washington, D.C., and there's a good reason for that. So, Chuck, let's start off with your first pick of the week.
Right. I thought I would stay with two pretty similar companies, actually. They're both consulting-related firms that do a lot of work for the federal government. Now, somebody may go, well, the federal government, that's actually pretty good business these days when you look at the budgets and the deficit spending that's going on, et cetera. The companies who cater to the government are doing quite well right now, and one of those is Lados. The symbol is LDOS. Stock trades for about $84 a share. Again, it's a big consulting firm, has a lot of contracts with government entities and also non-government entities as well. So it is a bit diversified. They do everything from defense, space, et cetera. So company has put up a pretty steady drumbeat of earnings beats in the last several quarters. Earnings estimates have been rising, which is something you don't see in a lot of companies right now. The stock has done pretty well. Actually, today you're getting a bit of a chance. Both stocks have pulled back a bit today, so I think their stocks are down 3 or 4%. So you're getting a little bit better of an entry point. Again, that's Lados, the symbol LDOS, and again, the stock trades for about $84 a share.
And the other one, no, it's not a liquid lunch. It's a name with a long history in government consulting.
It is. Booz Allen Hamilton. The symbol is B as in boy, A-H. Stock trades for about $73 a share. Now, this is, if you believe government spending is going to continue, this is the way to play that. The company derives 96% of their revenue from government contracts. But business has been good. Their current backlog is nearly three times their annual revenues. So they have a pretty a lot of clarity in terms of business coming down the pike. Again, it's a company that's been beating their earnings on a regular basis. It's a stock, again, that has done well, but we think there's further to go. And again, it is a stock that's down today in line with what appears to be a little bit of a pivot from growth to value when you look at some of the value areas of the market actually are doing quite well. But we do like both the stocks. We think those stocks both should outperform the market over the next 12 months.
All right, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter based in Hammond, Indiana. His picks this week, Lados, L-D-O-S, and Booz Allen Hamilton, B-A-H. If you miss any part of today's Noon Business Hour, the replay podcast going up to WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.